This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Astros Baseball and happy 4th of July to all of you and my co-host Tom. Tom, buddy, happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July, Rob. Hope you got your fireworks in, your barbecue, however you decide to do it, your meal, whatever you think your Independence meal is for Independence Day, if you celebrate that. For me, it was brisket. It was awesome. How about you?
I usually celebrate 4th of July, but we went to the game yesterday. And so today we had so much to do. You know, we went grocery shopping, had some other things to take care of. My wife had some housework to do. And so we just got some of that Firebird or whatever that is, the one at HEB that they cook on the grill.
Oh, yeah. That's really good.
Yeah, we got that. And actually, the neighbors were cooking out yesterday when we got home and they gave us some food over the fence. So I ate some of that, too. So I did eat some barbecue. Fireworks, not yet. And that's one topic that I want to bring up now is I live outside of city limits. So fireworks are okay. I got a fireworks, a big old huge fireworks building at the entrance and the exit of my neighborhood. I got to work at 5 a.m. and these fireworks are going to go till midnight, or if not 2 a.m, buddy, it's going to be horrible.
that is a hot topic of debate, you know, for the people that celebrate, the people that don't, you know, the ones that don't, you know, really don't want all that noise. But I mean, the other ones are going till they can't go anymore.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with people celebrating, but I mean, like, tomorrow's Tuesday. People got to work. They were popping some yesterday, but I mean, it doesn't bother me. I'm pretty cool with it. The neighbors had a party. They were being loud, but I didn't have to work. So we just, me and my wife were binge watching Married at First Sight, some new show where they gave people a second chance, but nobody wants to hear about that. They wouldn't hear about baseball. So you missed the last episode. You're spending time with family. 4th of July, that's another reason I wanted to do a show today. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Yankees. We weren't super confident, but they got it done.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that I missed y'all hanging out with the kids, doing the family thing. But man, what a game against the Yankees. What a pitching performance. I wasn't confident that they were going to be able to score enough runs. I didn't think there was going to be enough offense without Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Peña in the lineup. But they found a way, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, they didn't need it. They went 2-1. What a game, folks. What a game. And then the Angels, they sweep the Angels. I mean, I could see that coming. I think, I don't know what it ended up being, but what's his name? Mike Trout. And I failed to bring this up yesterday, but Mike Trout struck out almost every time he went to bat. He did nothing.
It's wild. He looks really like disinterested. He looks really unhappy at the plate. Like you know, like some hitters are working on some things and stuff like that, but Mike Trout's so great. You just feel like he's going to hit a homer every time, or at least hard contact. And he just looked absolutely miserable at the plate. Credit to the Astros pitching, but I wonder if something else is going on there, but who knows? Really proud of the team. I mean, again, more pitching, all the pitching, just so amazing that they're able to, you know, keep stacking up these great pitching performances, because you just don't see it all the time.
Speaking of pitchers, Forrest Whitley started for Sugarland tonight, and I expected big things. 2 2/3 innings, 5 hits and 6 runs, 2 walks and 4 strikeouts. Not good, buddy.
He's a work in progress. I think we got to be patient with him. I think he's feeling the pressure to be something as much as we are putting it on him, and us being the fans. So I hope that that's just a blip. He looked really good going into AAA, though.
Yeah, I mean, his rehab assignment looked good. He went from the Woodpeckers, the low A to Sugarland. Not good. We'll see. I saw him pitch once when I went to Corpus, and he got lit up. I mean, he gave up like 6 runs, almost the same box score there. But did you see this? I know you might have been driving and coming back from being out of town, but did you see that? Are you a fan of this, the hot dog eating contest, and this Joey Chestnut wins every year? The guy ate like 60-something hot dogs.
I feel like it's a train wreck you can't look away from once you've already started watching it. Like, if you've watched it over the years, you feel like Joey Chestnut's just going to eat an extra couple dogs every year, and you just don't expect it. Like, it's like you have to watch it, but you wouldn't like normally watch like an eating competition. I don't know what it is about the 4th of July and the hot dog thing. I watch it. Yeah, I definitely. I saw, you know, there was some protester that jumped on the stage and stuff like that. I mean, the guy's still an animal. He still ate like 63 dogs or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, he wins the hot dog contest, and in the middle of it, he has to choke out a protester. It happened so fast, I didn't get to read what the sign said. But anyway, also keeping with pitchers, today's the return of Odorizzi. What was your expectations for Odorizzi? I'm sure it was better than, you know, the results of today.
To be honest with you, I was really tempered. If you recall, last time he came back off an injured stint, he was really bad to start too. I was hoping that he kept it, you know, four runs. Obviously, it didn't go that way. But I didn't expect him to do what everybody's seen the last 2 weeks. I felt like anybody that thought that Jake was going to come out and pitch like that, that was going to be really tough.
Yeah, so another thing I want to bring up is that hopefully the sound is pretty good, but me and the wife got new phones and they let us trial the T-Mobile home internet for free for 15 days. And after that, it's $30 for life. So why not try it out? So the computer, our phones are hooked up to it. So far, so good. And all you do is plug it in. There's no wires. I mean, you plug it in and you open up an app and start it up. So far, so good. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how the audio is here. But let's get into it. Corey Lee got his first start. I knew that was coming. And I think maybe there was a chance Odorizzi, I don't think so, maybe, that they met up when he was rehabbing. And maybe they, you know, maybe he caught Odorizzi when they're rehabbing. Maybe that was a possibility. I'm not really sure. But things didn't start out well, buddy. Top of the first, Dozier, a two-run single. It was 2-0. Top of the second, bit of Tendy, two-run single, 4-0. And then he gave up a solo home run in the top of the third. Astros down. After three innings, 5-0. Not looking good, buddy.
No, it was one of those things where I felt like he just couldn't miss bats. And those guys, for as bad as Kansas City can be, they've shown in the past, whether it be against the Astros or against other teams, being able to light you up for 4 or 5 runs in a hurry.
So bottom of the fourth, the Astros finally get on the board with a sac fly by Tucker. Pena scored. And then Odorizzi was done. 4 innings, 9 hits, 5 runs and a walk, 3 strikeouts. His ERA is still at 4.04, but he, you know, he gave up a home run. He gave up a lot of hits, but a lot of it was soft contact, and a lot of it was the balls were hit where the, you know, where the infielders weren't. So it wasn't all Odorizzi. I mean, he only had 1 walk, so it wasn't as bad as it looks, but it was still bad. Bottom of the fifth. So the Astros are down 5-1. Altuve had an RBI single, brought in Dubon. We're down 5-2. Then Dubon grounded out. Jake Meyer scored from third, 5-3. And then my boy, Mr. Amazing, Seth Martinez comes in after Odorizzi, throws 3 scoreless innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, has his ERA down to 0.83. The guy's awesome.
Yeah, credit to you for really pointing him out early and often. He has been so good, so consistent, so dominant. He's got that big sweeping, I think it's a slider, right? And you just, it's really hard to pick up apparently for hitters because he is striking out a ton of people with it.
In the top of the eighth, Melendez had a solo home run. And I'm not going to lie to you, buddy. I went to the back room because me and my wife got distracted by the bird feeder and the bird bath in the front yard. And I heard home run. And I was like, oh, no, Seth Martinez gave up a run. But I didn't realize Maton was in the game. So, I mean, that's bad for us, but it's good for Seth Martinez. So the Astros are clawing back, buddy. It was 5-3. Then they made it 6-3. And it's like the offense really isn't there. And they got 2 innings left. But the bottom of the eighth, Tucker came up a second chance with the bases loaded. 2-run single, Pena and Yordan came in. It was 6-5. Then Yuli had an RBI single. Alex Bregman came in, and we're all tied up. We have all the momentum in the world, and then Jake Meyers decides to bunt, or they told him to bunt. I don't know why, but it was a horrible bunt. It was a rally killer. Dubon struck out after that. Diaz pinch hit. He struck out. What's up with the bunt? These guys are hitting the ball. They're destroying these guys. They're making this huge comeback. Why would he bunt?
I can't imagine that he would do that on his own. And it's really weird. It's really like a curveball because I feel like Dusty has been prone to not bunt and like try to build on a big inning. So I don't know how we got there. It really didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, you'd already done all your damage. Why not keep letting them swing away? I don't know. I can't explain it. I didn't get an explanation after the game, or at least I didn't find it. So I'll be interested to figure out what happened there.
Yeah, Jake Myers has been hang on, I can't talk. Oh, my kid's FaceTiming me. I'm sorry, folks. This is a live show, and we don't edit it. But anyway, Jake Myers has been raking. Why would he bunt? And there was a runner on first and second. So what were they doing? Trying to give up an out? Trying to avoid the double play? I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me. I really felt like there was a big inning brewing. Jake had been really good at the plate. It looked like, you know, all the momentum in the world, like you spoke about, just let him swing away. But I feel like once they got that one out, it swung the momentum the other way. And then Kansas was like, okay, we can do this. A double play gets us out of the inning. And then the next two guys come up, strike out. But the game is tied. Still a lot to be figured out.
And the second question is, you give Corey Lee his first start. It's a big position or a big moment in the game, and they pinch hit for him. Do you pinch hit for him, or do you let him be in that moment?
I didn't understand that either. I mean, obviously, you know, Dusty's managing to win games, right? But you're playing with house money at that point. I feel like, if anything, how else are you going to build a kid's confidence but to let him have a hack with a chance to bring in a potential game-winning run, you know, with a man on second base? So I didn't love the move, but, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know, Dusty's going to Dusty, and we can't always explain it.
Okay, one thing about that, though, it benefited the Astros because it had Machete come in the game, and in the top of the ninth with two outs, Witt walked Bobby Witt Jr., and he tried to steal second. Machete threw him out. Would Corey Lee have thrown him out? Would that have happened? I don't know. Would they have scored just because he won second? I don't know, but it kind of turned out to be a good thing.
Yeah, I obviously can't complain with the result. Definitely you want your best defender in there in a tie game, you know, to keep those guys from running. I don't understand why anybody in the league runs on Martin Maldonado at this point. How many guys does he have to throw out before people are like, you know what, we're just not going to try him? But they keep doing it, and he keeps gunning them down.
So many questions, buddy. We go to the bottom of the ninth. Altuve pops up. Pena lines out. You have two outs with Yordan Alvarez up. Yordan Alvarez. And you pitch to him. But first of all, it's 3-1. You look at it, buddy. It's their one ball, one throw outside, one ball in the dirt, one ball away from him walking. And Alex Bregman would come up. And you don't know if this would happen because there's already two away. Why do you pitch to Yordan Alvarez? I don't get it.
I can't understand that either. It's a lot like when the Astros pitched to Aaron Judge on a 3-1 count too. I feel like you just can't let those guys beat you, right? They're just so good, so talented. It's like, you know what? Live to fight another day. If Bregman beats you, so be it. But Yordan, I mean, he's the hottest hitter in baseball right now. Why on earth would you pitch him? I can't explain it. Kansas City is where they are for that reason, and I appreciate them.
Okay, Maton gave up a run. Stanek, one walk, no runs, picks up the win. His ERA is 0.67, and they touched on this on the broadcast. He's not getting a lot of all-star attention. I guess, you know, the coaches and the – I don't know. I can't even remember the sports writers, whoever picks all the reserves and the pitchers, but he's not getting all-star buzz is kind of the point. But it's because he doesn't have saves. But, I mean, I don't know, man. Will Harris, he kind of had the same numbers years ago, and he made it. So, I don't know, man. I haven't been counting Stanek as one of the guys that could be on the all-star team, but he's got a really good chance.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't exactly know how you get relief pitchers to the All-Star game that aren't closers, but if there's anybody that deserves the nod, it's got to be him. You're talking about the second best record in baseball, and he's arguably one of the most dependable high leverage guys the Astros have.
So the Astros had 7 runs on 7 hits. Kansas City had 6 runs on 11 hits. So Kansas City actually out-hit them, but the Astros won. Peña was 1-for-4 with 2 runs. Tucker had 3 RBIs. Alvarez scored twice and had that game-winning walk-off home run. All the Astros got on base. 7 got on base via hit, and 2 got on base via the walk. Bregman walked twice, and Corey Lee walked once, so at least he got on base. The Astros were 3-for-9 with runners in scoring position. They left 6 men on base, and they are now 52-27, 7 straight wins. But it wasn't, you know, we talked about it earlier. It wasn't looking good because Odorizzi had given up runs. But also, the Astros offense didn't show up till late. The first 10 Astros were retired by Royals pitchers.
Yeah, I didn't expect this game to go this way. I really felt like, the Astros are going to hit them early and often. But it did take them a while to get it going. But credit to them for figuring out a way to just chip away at that deficit to where they could get the big guy up and a chance to win the game.
So Sunday, Peña walked off the Angels. And I called them. It might not take off, but the walk-off blues, the blue Sunday uniforms, because his last walk-off in May or somewhere, whenever it was, he was also wearing Sunday blue. So Peña and Alvarez, who both collided in the outfield, they both missed games. They both come back and they both have walk-offs in the Angel series and then today in the Royal series. Pretty awesome, but here we go, buddy. Here's some records. I saw this on the post game, and I should really watch the post game a little more because they have really good tidbits to share with people. But here's the Astros records. Opponents, when the opponent scores first, 13-19. Did you have any idea?
No, not at all. I would have never thought that.
So if you're watching a game and the Astros do not score first, they're a little bit under 500. When the Astros score 4 or more runs out of 41 games, how many games do you think they won? What's their record out of 41 games when they score 4 runs?
I believe it's something crazy. It's like 37, 38, something like that. It's really high. The 4 runs was the magic number for a long time. The first like 17 or 18 games, I think they were undefeated when they scored 4 runs.
You are a very smart guy. 37-4. That's their record. Their record Their record when trailing after 7 innings, 4-21. So before today, it was 3-21. See, that's some cool stuff you can get watching the post game. I got to do it more often. Pitching matchups, we have another potential matchup with Greinke and Verlander, but we're not getting it. Are you still disappointed about that? I mean, you're not disappointed. You didn't want it, right? But Greinke's going against Garcia tomorrow, and JV will pitch Thursday. And that game's at 110. They're giving them a rest, right? Because they skipped them.
Correct. They're operating with this 6-man rotation, I believe. And it was like to control his innings because his innings have been kind of up there. And that's Justin I'm talking about. I don't mind that we go against Greinke. I just feel like he's gonna deal. Like I hope that whoever pitches against him, obviously it's Luis.
Yeah.
I hope he's equally as good because something about Greinke, I know, like, he declined to talk about his Astros experience. Politely, he wasn't ugly about it. But I have a feeling he wants to go out and show something.
I saw a story, and I don't know how true it is, but a guy was at the Royals game, and I don't know if he was on the road or whatever, but he said he tossed his ball down for Greinke to sign, and then Greinke just threw it in the infield. Because he didn't want to do it. I mean, I don't know how true that is, and I don't remember every word of that statement, but it was kind of – I don't really believe that he would do something like that, but it's Greinke. I wouldn't put it past him.
So it's 100% true.
Okay, there you go. See, you know a lot of stuff. That's why I like you.
It was on Twitter. They posted it. The guy had his phone on, and he was recording it, and he tossed his ball down to Greinke. Greinke throws it. I think he threw it into the stands or something. And the guy was like, hey, why'd you do that? And he said, for my amusement, and walked away.
There you go. Thank you. I'm so glad you knew about that. All right. So I did a couple of polls, and the first one, I feel pretty dumb. So I said, what will Corey Lee's outcome be today? Will he get a single, an extra base hit? Will he get a home run? Or will he catch someone stealing second or possibly third, I guess? 40% of the people said he was going to get a single, 30 said extra base, 15 home run, and 15 caught stealing. Turns out the answer is a walk. And I feel so dumb for leaving that out. Maybe I expected some offensive output other than a walk, but I feel kind of dumb. All right, but number two, I was kind of surprised by this and kind of not. What is your favorite 4th of July food? Hot dog, burgers, or other? What would you vote for?
I voted for a hamburger because, I mean, I feel like that's synonymous. I don't know why, like, the dogs are a big thing, but I always feel like that's a kid food, right? Like, you make the dogs for the kids, you make the burgers for the adults. That's
kind of how it works out, isn't it? But to me, if my wife said, go cook out on 4th of July, I'm cooking out hot dogs because it's 4th of July. So 50% of the people say hot dogs, 38 say burgers. So it's pretty high. And I said other because I figured some people would be smoking brisket and doing other things. But it looks like the majority of people are hot dog and hamburger guys on 4th of July. And I find that pretty cool.
I think it's the way to go. I mean, unless you're going to spend the time to smoke a brisket. Now, if you are, I'd like to get to know you and come by and try the brisket.
All right, buddy. I don't know the quality of these. Some of them are good and some of them may not be as good, but I got 6 fair fouls. Are you ready to get to that?
Let's do it.
All right, guys. We'll be right back with 6 all new fair fouls. All right. We are back with 6 fair fouls. I'm going to start with a really good one. I went to the game Saturday. I sat in section 134. If you're familiar with it, you're right by the foul pole. Your seats are not really straight looking at the game. You still got to turn to the left a little bit, but not a view of the big scoreboard. You can see the little one on the third base side, but you can't see the big one. So fair or foul, seats at Minute Maid Park with no view of the big screen. Do they have a name for that, right? I just can't think of it.
So I think it's fair. And the reason being is because, you know, obviously you're not going to pay for that or you're going to, you know, like adjust your seating, right? You got to want to get as close to the field as you can, but not everybody can be facing the scoreboard. So it's like, if you want to, you pay a premium, you sit in the premium seats and then you see everything. If you want to sit, you know, if you don't want to pay the premium, then you sit, you know, in the nosebleeds and then you see the scoreboard and you do it that way. For me, I've sat kind of where you're at and I like those seats. I think it's great.
I'd rather be in like 105 because you're closer because left field is shorter and then you can also see the big scoreboard. So give me 105 over 134 any day. So you're fair and I'm foul, buddy. I love to see the scoreboard. I just love it. You know, there's some 200s out in the outfield where you're totally blocked from everything. And all you can see is like old time, like you're at, you know, the Red Sox stadium. You can just see inning and the score. So we can't really see anything there. I don't know if I'd want to sit there either. All right.
I'm with you though. I would sit 105 also. I just don't want to pay for it.
Oh, come on. All right. Number two, the Astros had a throwback weekend, right? About with the 90s team, they had the Kyle Tucker jersey, the 90s throwback jersey giveaway on Friday. When I went, we got Lance McCullers Jr. bobbleheads. He had the 90s, you know, blue and silver jersey on. Fair or foul, the Astros should have worn the throwback jerseys from the 90s this weekend. Why didn't they? I say foul, they should have worn them. Or fair, they should have worn them.
Yeah, I agree. Fair, they should have worn them. I love those jerseys. I know there's a huge cult following that loves those jerseys. And, you know, they would have made a killing if they'd have sold them. So why not have the guys play, put them in the store and go to town?
I know they have a Biggio jersey because my son bought one. But I remember they used to have, you know, like throwback weekends and they would wear the rainbow jerseys. Why not wear these? I don't get it. All right, number three, I thought of this because I was running out of ideas here. But we were at the store, like looking around today. I think we're at Dollar General at the first. And I almost bought a puzzle because I enjoy doing puzzles. So fair or foul doing puzzles?
Oh, 100% fair. I think it's a total, you know, like if you want to relax, like, and not like really rack your brain, but you want something to challenge you, a 500,000 piece puzzle, you know,
make 500,000?
No, 500 or 1,000. I'm sorry. I should put the or in there. I should slow down.
500 is a good number. 300 is too easy.
Yeah, I agree.
1,000. See, for me, not to cut you off, but I say fair because I love to do them, but it's also kind of like reading. If I start a book and it's really good, I won't put it down. I won't watch TV. I won't do anything because I want to finish that book. And it's the same as puzzles. If I get started, I want to finish it because it's on the dinner table. You know, I don't want it there. I want to get it done, and I'll be up till 2-3 in the morning doing it. So that's why I didn't buy one. I don't have time. I don't have time to invest. But fair, I like doing them.
So as a puzzle veteran, you buy a either you have a sheet of, you know, cardboard, or you take an old box and you build it on that, and then
you still got to put it somewhere.
You slide it under the bed. And then when it's done, you glue it on that box, you flip it over, and then if you want to mount it, you mount it. If not, you put it back in the box, whatever you want to do.
Well, there you go.
But I'm with you. I have a hard time putting them down, but I love them because, you know, you're creating this picture. It's a challenge.
All right, number four. I tweeted about this the other day, and it got quite a bit of action. Wearing your hat backwards. Fair or foul. Now, you can look at it two ways, and I'll start just so I can explain myself. Fair or foul, for me to do that is a foul. I won't wear mine backwards because I wear the fitted hats and I turn it around. It just doesn't look right. And I've never done it. I've never been a backwards hat guy. Do I think it's foul for other people to do it? Not really. If that's how you want to wear your hat, go ahead. But for me, I don't do it.
So for me, it's 100% fair. I saw the poll. I saw the question. I commented too. You know, Griffey made it stylish, like somebody said. For me, sometimes the bill gets in the way. If you're working on something, you got to turn it back. Or, you know, if you want a better sight line, you don't want the bill in the way. You know, you can have your hat on and then get called out to, you know, play a basketball game or whatever. Turn that hat back and go to work.
You have to wear your hat backwards to play basketball. You can't shoot a basketball with that. Also, think about this. All of you that are old enough to have watched Over the Top, the arm wrestling movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I guarantee you everybody. I mean, Rambo, my bad.
Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone. Every one of you guys walked out of that theater. You know, who's never done that? Who's never, like, no way you've never done the, you know, the Sylvester Stallone, turn your hat around, get right. No one. It's awesome.
I mean, for you're showing your age there a little bit, sir. You got to have the trucker cap for that because he was a truck driver. But yeah, absolutely, great movie if you're into that sort of thing, and yeah, you got to rock it backwards.
All right, number five. My wife might not like this, but she's outside. She's gonna hear it later. But all right, sleeping. I got like three parts of this, maybe even four. This is all about sleeping, and I hope we haven't done this yet. Have we talked about sleeping with the door closed?
No, not at all.
All right. Sleeping with you're in your house. Okay. I'll put you in my picture. Me and my wife have a home. We live alone. We sleep in the back of the house. I leave the door open. If she goes to bed, she shuts it. I can't sleep with the door shut. I hate it. Foul. Door shut. Foul.
I'm a door open guy. I believe it's just me though. So I don't know.
I'm a door open guy.
Yeah. I've never thought about it. You know, like I'll close it, but I feel like for me, it's like quick in, quick out, easy access. Like there's no one else in the house, so I'm not worried about anybody seeing me in the bed.
Yeah.
I could imagine if you were psychologically worried, you know, you guys got kids or whatever, you're worried about them, you know, walking in on you while you're asleep in bed. Maybe that's why she's like, I've always closed the door and I'm just going to keep doing it.
Yeah, I guess if I had kids living with me, I know if people stay with me, if we have company, we'll shut the door. But I mean, if I'm home all by myself, I mean, I'm never home by myself anymore, but Even when I lived alone, I never shut the door. I think when I lived alone, the door never even got shut. It just stayed open.
I'm with you. Fair.
All right. What about the closet? Can you sleep if the closet door is open?
That's another one I leave open too. Everything's open in my house or my apartment because I just want the access. I'm not worried about anybody seeing it, but I imagine if you had company or if you had family, you would close doors so that they didn't see what's going on in your closet or see what's going on in your bedroom.
Well, it is your bedroom. So if I'm in the bedroom, I would shut the closet door in most cases, but our closet is actually in the bathroom and it never gets shut. So we have the, I don't know what to call it, the powder room. Where you go number two or your whatever. Your toilet's in its own little room and it has a door. And next to it is the door to the closet. And those things are always open. So okay. We don't ever shut them, but there's a big door that goes to the bathroom that my wife will not. Like if I get up and brush my teeth or anything, if she's already in bed and I leave that open, she'll get up and shut it. She's got to have it shut. So she's a closet shut kind of person. What about a ceiling fan? Sleep on the ceiling fan, fair or foul?
Oh, fair. I didn't used to, but now it's like a requirement. Like I need that draft.
All right. Me too. I love it. When I didn't have one, I had that little table fan, like the one that osculated. I have it on all the time and I got to have that noise. So I don't know, but it's just, I'm just like always hot when I'm sleeping. So I love having the ceiling fan on. All right. So today we went to Five Below and we found, because we bought our phones and we ordered some cases on Amazon. So we're walking around with these $1,000 phones with no cases, scared to death that we're going to drop them. And so we go to Five Below today. And on the way in, I was like, you know what, babe? They have phone cases here. Because we ordered them, but they don't come till Wednesday. And I was like, we could just buy some $5 ones. So we bought some there. So fair or foul, Five Below.
Oh, absolutely fair. You'd be surprised what kind of like stuff that you need, but you're not necessarily like, if it's damaged or whatever, like they sell headphones there. I mean, toys for the kids. I've got two boys, you can always find something for both of them there. One's 12, one's five. So I love Five Below. I think it's absolutely fair.
Five Below as a dad. I mean, you seem like you might be in my boat. I was a weekend father for a very long time and I wish they had had Five Below when when they were growing up. I mean, just here's $20, go to town. You know what I mean? I mean, because they used to go to the dollar store and do that kind of stuff. But Five Below, dude, that's awesome. Because kids don't care how much stuff costs. If they go in, I'm going to get some headphones, I'm going to get a t-shirt, I'm going to get a toy, and I'm going to get some bubbles, whatever. I don't know. And it's $20. So Five Below is pretty awesome.
Yeah, my five-year-old does not have any concept of what anything costs. So he's counting items. So Five Below is exactly right for something like that.
All right, buddy. Do you have any final thoughts?
It is a great time to be an Astros fan. I tweeted this out the other day, and it bears repeating. The Astros have the easiest remaining schedule of any team in baseball. So if you like this feeling right now, it could last for a while.
My final thought would be that the Astros play down to their competition. So hopefully, they beat these teams they should beat.
Also true. Although I think if you would have got anybody pitching today, but Jake Odorizzi, it probably doesn't end the way it did.
Yeah. Overall, it was pretty good. I mean, to get Jake Odorizzi to come in and pitch and do what he did and still walk away with a victory, you can't not love that. And I tweeted this, and I know you saw it, but yesterday or Saturday when I was at the game, and Maldonado, who's my second favorite player after Yuli Gurriel, hit two home runs. I tweeted, keep my catcher's name out your mouth, because don't slander the guy. He's awesome. I don't care what he's hitting. He's awesome. I love the guy, and that's what I said today. I literally love this guy. I love Machete Maldonado, and that's it.
He's going to be great for Corey Lee. I hope that he's got at least 2, maybe 3 years left in the tank so that he can groom him properly so that they could, there could be an easy transition, because I think the what is the word I'm looking for? The future is bright for Corey Lee.
There you we sound go. Like me.
I know. I was bad. Sorry.
So the, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to, I mean, I always want everybody to succeed, but my boy, Barry Hill's also a catcher, so. But you know what? He plays outfield and he plays first base, so they're letting him play other positions. So they're keeping their options open with this guy. You know, they can't pigeonhole him at catcher, even though he's good. I think maybe Corey. Hopefully, there's room for both of them someday in the future.
Well, both Castro and Maldonado are in what, mid-30s, so they're going to have to carry two catchers, and it probably won't be them 2 years from now.
Love it. All right, guys, for Tom, thanks for tuning in. Happy 4th of July, and we will see you probably on Wednesday night, and we'll talk about this Royals series later.